love, courage, truth. Glenn Beck.
Okay, what's happening with the Las Vegas attack? The investigation. At this point, it's getting harder and harder to know the truth. This is not helpful. The first timeline given for the attack, given by police, goes like this. 10:05, Stephen Paddock begins firing from his hotel room on the 32nd floor. 10:15, Paddock stops shooting. 10:17, police arrive on the 32nd floor, encounter security guard Campos, who had been shot through the door by Paddock. Clark County Sheriff Joe Lombardo explained last Wednesday, Paddock stopped firing when he saw that the security guard was at his door because he was, quote, in fear that he was about to be breached, so he was doing everything possible to figure out how to escape at that point. Okay, that's the story, right? Yeah, until yesterday, because that's not the story. It all changed yesterday. The new timeline released by police says that the security guard encountered Paddock before he started shooting. Campos arrived at Paddock's room at 9:59 because he heard a drilling sound coming from inside. Paddock then shot him through the door, then broke out the windows and started firing at 10:05. So 6 minutes go by. 9:59, he's shot through the door. 10:05, Paddock begins shooting. The security guard obviously showed up in the middle of Paddock's preparations and forced his timeline forward ahead of schedule. Police now say Paddock fired 200 rounds through the door and into the hallway trying to take out the security guard. 200 rounds through the door of the hallway? That had to last anywhere, 3 to 5 minutes? So here's the question that I have now. Did the security guard not radio for backup during the 5 minutes of hell? Ask anybody who's been in a firefight and they will tell you 200 rounds seems like an eternity. If someone has a little too much to drink at a hotel casino, you see a platoon of security guards there to respond. But in this case, not a single person responded to 200 gunshots on the 32nd floor. And no one from police would officially arrive for 18 minutes. Sheriff Lombardo also changed the date that he checked into the hotel. They said originally that Paddock arrived at the hotel on the 28th. But now they're saying, actually, we think he arrived on the 25th. How does this hotel not know when he arrived? Have you been to Las Vegas? There are more cameras in a Vegas casino than in a maximum security prison. There are hundreds of cameras, front desk records, credit card charges. I don't know, checking those would seem to be something you might have done on Tuesday. The question is, what is happening with this investigation? And they better figure it out quickly, because the conspiracy theories are going to gain strength. The more you change the story, the longer you go without knowing what the story is, or releasing any of the video and the pictures. You know the casino has a picture of him at the front desk, whether it's on the 28th or the 25th. Which date was it? Tell us the truth.
It's Tuesday, October 10th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So I hate bringing you this news because I don't believe in any of the conspiracy theories. But this is the kind of stuff that causes conspiracy theories to grow. I mean, this isn't like, you know, steel doesn't melt. Yes, it does. How do you think they make them into beams?
That's how they come off the tree. Is when they off the steel tree. They come in beam form.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I stand corrected on that. This isn't that. This is, you're in the most secure, honestly, besides probably the Federal Reserve where they have all the gold. Can you think of a place that is more camera-lated than a casino? Jason Batrill is in with us. He's our chief researcher. He's been following this. He's also part of military intelligence. You know, he was definitely not part of the intelligence part when he was in. But so, Jason, what the hell is going on with this?
I'm trying so hard not to believe the conspiracy theories because they are everywhere.
They are.
And some of them are kind of convincing. Some of them, not so much. Some of them are pretty ridiculous. But when you can't get the timeline down on this thing, I mean, this is not like a case of, oh, you know, some little kid stole the wallet off of this poor little old couple that were on retirement, you know, in Florida or whatever. This is the most, you know, the most dangerous, most horrible mass shooting in modern history. And they can't get the timeline down.
Okay, so hang on just a second. I have to add one other thing. It's not only the biggest massacre in American history, but it
I
is.
Mean, it's not the biggest.
It is the biggest massacre. It's the biggest
shooter.
Type of incident. It's not only a record-breaking crime. It also is being done at a casino. You should have like 40 different angles of everything.
Well, they said in the press conference they have him on video 200 times throughout the time he was there, and he was never with another person. He never interacted with anyone. So they don't. This is one of the reasons they don't think there was a second shooter or anything, because they do have.
How
him on
do
video.
They not know when he, you know, when he checked in? Now they're saying it was maybe 3 days before. How do you not know that?
I don't know. I mean, we were talking about this a little bit before the show. It could potentially be that some of it was just misreported at the time. That's a really strange one, right? If he checked in to that hotel, unless he checked in a separate time under an alias or something very strange,
that's possible.
But so far they have not presented it.
How many movies have you seen where the main character is, you know, getting questioned by the cops and he's like, "You're asking me the same question over and over again," and the cop's like, "You're gonna keep answering those questions until we get to the truth." That's literally what should have happened. I mean, I know that's what happened on this, but they're, you know, so the timeline should be firm at this point.
Yeah, yeah. I have a problem. The video. I mean, how do you not know? And just digital records. How do you not know? The second thing I have a problem with is, you literally sneeze the wrong way in a casino and security is there. 200 rounds in a hallway on the 32nd floor, and it takes 18 minutes for somebody to arrive.
And no one from the hotel either. Like, no one from the hotel responded. So it wasn't all of his buddies coming up after he radioed for help. It was not even SWAT officers. It was police officers that were on the scene that went up there. And this is a big point, too. This is one of the big reasons why this is such a huge deterrent from the original story, is that the cops said, well, when we showed up and we saw that Campos, the security guard, was wounded on the 32nd floor, we decided there was no hurry to continue to push into the room because he had already stopped the shooting. No, he didn't. He actually, his presence initiated the shooting. It wasn't, they didn't stop because of him.
Well, because they did say that they didn't know why he stopped, but he had stopped by the time they had arrived. So, I mean, they didn't feel the need to necessarily break the door down because there's no gunshots going on, right?
Well, there was an official statement that said the police officers that responded said, "We didn't think that there was a hurry to push in because the security guard had actually already stopped the shooting."
So they really,
okay. So wait a minute. So there is the possibility that, you know, in the confusion, I find it's hard to believe a week later, but in the confusion, you know, somebody says, I came up and he started shooting, and they just screwed the timeline up. I mean, had they reported the 200 shots into the hallway before?
Yeah, they had reported that that there were a couple hundred shots.
I mean, that's...
Which is amazing. How did he got hit once? Like, he came to the door, they saw him with the cameras, he fires 200 shots into the hallway, and this guy gets hit once? That's a miracle.
That's a miracle.
It's incredible. And I know you're sort of playing this up because... we have to find our moment to have any fun with any of these stories anymore. So I understand.
Well, then you know what? Then hang on. Hang on then. Let's transition right to fun.
Okay.
Let's go right to Alex Jones.
Oh my gosh.
And get the the conspiracy theory. Because
you mean the truth? Is that what you're trying to say?
No, I don't mean that. Because Bill Cosby is not Bill Cosby. O.J. Simpson is involved in this. You may not have known that, but O.J. Simpson plays a role. Here's Alex Jones.
Now, here's the big news. Islamic State has taken responsibility. Mm-hmm. And the man known by the police for issues, I guess mental illness, had reportedly converted to Islam in the last 2 months. Oh. And even though that's being reported by Reuters and others, you're not seeing it on CNN or MSNBC. We've been tracking it. Maybe I missed it. But that's pretty big news, isn't it? Now, let's stop right there.
Isn't it?
Who was allied with ISIS and Al-Qaeda during the entire last 6 years of the Arab Spring? Well, Al Gore called for an Arab Spring here in America. Al Gore, Phil Mudd, and many others also said, like the former deputy director of the CIA, Phil Mudd said, or like the former head of the CIA, Mr. Brennan said, there will be terror attacks in America, and they're coming, and Trump is going to be overthrown in the next 2 months. That was 2 months ago, basically to the day of October 1st.
Hold on just a second. Jason, did the head of the CIA say he was going to be overthrown in the next 2 months? I thought I would read that if he had said that.
Probably would have been a little bit bigger deal.
Probably.
A little bit.
They're not reporting it on CNN.
Maybe because it's not true.
I love that, too. Like, Reuters is reporting it, but they're not showing it to you on CNN. Isn't Reuters a major news source? It's not like, yeah. It's not like some blogger found it, but CNN won't tell you about it. Reuters is a major news source.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in his research room. Like, our research room is nothing like that. It must be so boring. I would love it. Can you imagine? Like, some guy's like, ha-ha! Yeah. I broke the whole thing.
It's so good. I love tracking these things down, too. So the article he's referring to, Islamic State claims Las Vegas shooting, comma, U.S. officials skeptical. So, again, that wasn't included in his analysis. And then it says that it's not Reuters saying that he had converted to Islam. It is the Islamic State's news agency saying that he converted to Islam. Like, there's a kind of it's not Reuters making that claim. They're not saying they found information. They're just reporting what they threw up on the site, which, Jason, I know you've been following this, largely is so far not seen as credible. ISIS has claimed responsibility for a few attacks that they have not done. Most of the time they're accurate, but so far there's no information tying this to ISIS.
That's true. But that actually kind of,
You're not ruling it out.
Right? I'm not ruling it out.
I think that's fair.
I'm not either.
And the moment someone definitively does rule it out, there very well could be an ISIS like dump that says, this is the screenshot of the communications that we had with him. I'm just not completely ruling it out. And also if they release something via their AMEC news agency, they typically don't make a claim on a huge attack. They typically don't. That's what further muddies the water on this attack. Now they have claimed attacks on like Taliban attacks, stuff like that. They've done it like 3 or 4 times.
But what would be the goal of the government keeping that away from us, especially
Trump, right?
Trump government.
Yeah.
Trump government would love that.
Well, it's a small step between that and fluoride, turning our reptiles gay.
This is the complication of the life of Alex Jones right now, though, because he has no other way to go than to blame the government for everything. There's no such thing as a flag. There's only a false flag. But now his guy is the president of the United States. So all of these things could be solved by the guy he said would solve all these problems. Yet he.
Well, they're keeping him in the dark.
Yeah, keeping him in the dark.
The deep state.
Oh, that's they're right. It's always, yeah. It's always the deep state. Apparently, Trump has no power in this government whatsoever, according to these people. But we didn't get to O.J. Simpson. Can we get to that?
Yeah, we're gonna go ahead. Let's roll this a little bit longer.
First, which is the 100-year anniversary.
Oh boy,
the 100-year anniversary of the Bolshevik Revolution and the literal grandchildren of the folks that financed the Bolshevik Revolution out of New York and London are now bragging, saying Bolshevik 2 is launching.
Those would be Jews.
I told you over and over again. That I believe their November 4th launch terror date was a smokescreen for them to begin launching terror attacks in October. They will get successively more intense until you basically come punch drunk to them. Then they'll launch their main attack. Here's the other big news. on Saturday night, Monday morning, Sunday morning, they released OJ just 20 hours before the attack took place, so all the media would come and be in place to cover this event.
Because there's no media in
Las Vegas.
The whole
thing has the hallmarks of being scripted by deep state Democrats.
There we go.
I'm Alex Jones.
All right, good.
That's good stuff, man.
That's great, man. So you couldn't, because you'd never get the media to cover this.
No.
They just had to all be hung over on Monday.
Right.
You know, they couldn't catch a plane out of there on Sunday after they released O.J. Simpson. They were just there, and they were all probably gambling there, and that's the only way there would be a camera anywhere in Las Vegas. We all hear the stories in the news. Good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and then he's the one arrested. Try this, Buddy Shepard. He is a USCCA member. He's an Army veteran. Military background, he thought he was ready for anything. Some guys come into his house. They are armed. They have, there's three guys, each of them armed. They're putting his family's safety in jeopardy. So what does Buddy do? He grabs his pistol. He confronts the scumbags with his pistol. He calls cops. When the cops come, he's outnumbered. 3-1, he was arrested. He was charged with 3 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly firearm and tossed into jail. Excuse me? Reason number 1,741 to move to Texas. Excuse me? The minimum sentence would be 3 years in prison, but Buddy was a USCCA member. The moment they got his call, they jumped into action. They completely shielded him and his family from legal and financial ruin. And right now, the USCCA wants to do this for you as well. Things are going to get tougher with guns. And if you are protecting yourself, you are going to come under fire 2 times. I want you to go to protectanddefend.com right now. I want you to join the USCCA. That way, when something like this happens, you are covered. The USCCA. Go to protectanddefend.com now. Protectanddefend.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
In a couple of weeks, we're starting a new TV show on the Blaze TV network, and it is The Blackboard. If you have missed The Blackboard, this is where we're headed, and we're going to start with socialism. And you know, I'm trying to come up with the most important thing. You know, I'm on this kick right now. What matters most? What matters most? And what matters most is that my kids know the truth, and that my kids know the truth about what's happening, what has happened, you know, that my kids even know the Bill of Rights, that my kids know what socialism is. They don't think that it's some app to socialize. And unfortunately, that's what most people think it is. And so in a couple of weeks, we go into production with this tomorrow. Is that right?
Yeah, that's the plan.
So, and this chalkboard is going to be a very different series. This is not an hour-long series. We want to break these up into 8-minute, you know, snackable bites, if you will. And over the year, we hope to be able to put a whole bunch of things into place. So, the first week will be on socialism and teaching what socialism is. But again, we're going to make them so they're shareable and they're easy to watch with your family, and you'll be able to really learn something from them. And then also this timeline that we're doing, we'll show you in a couple of weeks, will cover a whole bunch of different things because history interacts with it, with each other. And so a year down the road, you'll be able to take something that we saw, you know, in socialism and go, oh my gosh, that fits right in with this. And so it's kind of the history of America on the chalkboard, if you will. And we're finding some really interesting things out about socialism, that we can't wait to share with you.
Yeah, that's what one of the, when you remember when you hired me, you were like, let's tell some of these stories that some people may have heard before, but I want you to tell them in a completely different way with stories that no one's ever heard of before. And I was like, all right, no pressure whatsoever. That's going to be simple.
But this one, this one, you'll blow your mind. I didn't even know this about socialism, something that happened here in Dallas, Texas, which is a big thing. Socialism has been tried in America before and it fails every time. That's coming soon.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Yesterday was Indigenous Peoples Day. And as if all Indigenous peoples are alike. Like, as if all Indigenous peoples are good. Columbus, of course, is this horrible monster. And I talked to you yesterday and gave you a couple of books to read and share with your kids the real story of Columbus. And last night, we had David Barton on, who was actually reading from the diary of Columbus and also from Dr. Chansa. He was on the second voyage. And what most people don't know is Columbus was tried for his crimes because the people that went back to Spain with him, they brought him back in chains. And they said he's done these horrible things. So he was tried. As it turns out, the people that were pushing for it were the ones who actually did the crimes. He was exonerated. Others were not. He was exonerated because the crimes, quote, that he was perpetrating was proven in court at the time that this was because of a tribe of cannibals. Now, everybody in high school, I remember learning in high school about Columbus versus the cannibals, don't you? Oh, no. No, in fact, I've never heard the story of Columbus versus the cannibals. Now, how can you possibly miss Columbus versus the cannibals? I mean, it's a riveting story. How can you miss it? You need to prove that Columbus was just this guy coming over, was, you know, all hepped up on, you know, his search for gold, which I agree he was. But then to make him into a genocidal maniac, you have to make all of the Indians, all of the Indigenous people alike. And they're not. There were three groups of Indians that he met. First group, he loved. He loved. Second group was okay, but the second group was enslaved by a third group. Yes, you have that right. The Indigenous people enslaved the other Indigenous people. And the reason why they enslaved them is because they were cannibals. Here's David Barton quoting a diary from the second voyage. Listen to this.
I mean, here's the description. It's just pretty graphic. He says, so they went ashore, and besides those articles of food, he likewise brought away with him four or five bones of human arms and legs. When we saw those bones, we immediately suspected that we were then among the Caribbean islands whose inhabitants eat human flesh. Now, they go in, they talk to these women, and once they find out they're not cannibals, they like them. It says, these captive women told us of the Caribbean men who used them with such cruelty as would scarcely be believed, and that they eat the children which they bear to them, only bringing up those which they have by their native wives. So, in other words, these captive women, they bring back the island to have kids, and they eat those kids. If they have kids by the Caribbean wives, they raise those. That's part of the tribe. But these others is a food source. So they've got these captive women Jeez. As a food source. So it says, such of their male enemies as they can take away alive, they bring here to their homes to make a feast of them. And those who are killed in battle, they eat up after the fighting is over. They claim that the flesh of man is so good to eat that nothing like it can be compared to it in the world. And this is pretty evident, for of the human bones we found in their houses, everything that could be gnawed had already been gnawed, so that nothing else remained to them but what was too hard to be eaten. In fact, in one of the houses, we found the neck of a man undergoing the process of cooking in a pot preparatory for eating it. The habits of these Caribbees are beastly. So it's like you have the, you know, it's roast. You know, you got the neck piece, and you're just cooking all the meat off it. So you get, and that's what they found when they went in. Now, this woman also told him, they said, in their wars upon the inhabitants of the neighboring islands, these people capture as many of the women as they can, especially those who are young and handsome, and keep them as body servants and concubines. And so great a number did they carry off that in 50 houses we entered, no man was found. So they've got 50 houses full of these concubines. They go in there and have sex. They all get pregnant. They eat the kids that these 50 houses of women are just producing. They're eating all these kids. And it says, of that large number of captive females, more than 20 handsome women came away voluntarily with us. When the Caribbees take any boys as prisoner of war, they cut off their genitals at the belly, which now we're into ranch life because you take a bull, make it a steer because they grow bigger, stronger, you get more meat off them. They cut off their genitals at the belly. They fatten the boys until they grow to manhood. And then when they wish to make a great feast, they kill them and eat them. For they say the flesh of boys and women is not good to eat. Three boys thus mutilated came fleeing to us when we visited the houses.
Jeez.
But this is Indigenous People Day that we're celebrating here. And see, that's another stupid thing to think that Indians are all homogenous, that they're all the same. You've got three tribes right there. One that he loves, one that loves him, one that loves him because taken away from the cannibals, and the others, of course, the cannibals. And he talked about that when he got back and found that those guys, it's in his writings, he says their eyes had been gouged out. And he said he found out that the cannibals, as soon as they kill someone, gouge out the eyes because they think that's a tender part of the body. So they eat the eyes. So he gets back and finds all of his guys there with their eyes gouged out. I might be a little ticked off, too.
Did you learn that in school? Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
For more great recipes from David Barton, you can watch theblaze.com/TV, The Glenn Beck Show. It was on last night, and he had a lot of really good stuff on Columbus that you'd never hear, never heard. I don't think I ever heard in school.
I never heard any of that.
You can get a free trial at theblaze.com/TV.
Protecting your family is the number one responsibility. SimpliSafe Home Security is a great way to do that. I met with SimpliSafe's founders, this is years ago. He's a mechanically minded guy, an engineer. He actually wanted to follow in his grandfather's footsteps. His grandfather, I can't remember exactly what he invented, but it was something for the tanks in World War II that was, it's the radio, or it was something in the tanks that made it possible for us to win World War II. Years back, he is wanting to be his grandfather. He goes to Harvard and he wants to be a, you know, mechanical engineer, and he's in grad school and his friends get robbed. Well, they come to him. They say, we can't buy a security system. They have to be hardwired. We don't own the house. There's a 3-year contract. It's expensive. We're not going to be here for 3 years. He thinks there's got to be a better way. I'll come up with something. So he goes and he starts to tinker in his garage, and he comes up with what now is known as SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe is a totally wireless security system, top shelf, complete security with 24/7 alarm monitoring and police dispatch. There are no contracts, no hidden fees. He brought it to his friends, and his friends said, can you make another one of these? And it spread all through Boston. That's when he thought, I might have a business here. SimpliSafe, the popularity has soared. They're now protecting 2 million homes now in America. Protect your home with SimpliSafe. Go to SimpliSafeBeck.com. Get a special 10% discount when you order at SimpliSafeBeck.com. Or if you want the security system right away, you can go to Best Buy today. You can have it in your home tonight. Or go to SimpliSafeBeck.com and save that 10%. SimpliSafeBeck.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So Donna Karan, the fashion designer, stood up for Harvey Weinstein in an unbelievable comment. She said, you look at everything all over the world today and how women are dressing and what they're asking for just by presenting themselves the way they do. What are they asking for? Trouble. Well, Donna, that doesn't seem right, but it also seems a little hypocritical. Have you seen your fashion line? I mean, how many women are you helping them dress for trouble?
Well, she's just conserving fabric to protect the environment.
Is that
so
what it
that's
is?
Why they don't cover a lot of the skin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's unbelievable. Imagine if somebody on the right would have said that. You'd be out of business today. She said, now, I think she does have a point, not with Harvey Weinstein and not asking for trouble, but listen to this. To see it here in our own country is very difficult. I also think, how do we display ourselves? How do we present ourselves as women? What are we asking? Are we, see, this is wrong. Are we asking for it by presenting all the sensuality and the sexuality? And what are we throwing out to our children today? And how about the dance and how to perform and what to wear? How much should they show? Well, yes. But every time a conservative says that about, you know, trying to go in and find something for my daughter to wear in a store, people like Donna Karan call me a coot. Say that I'm, you know, some Christian zealot that just wants to have my daughter, you know, and my wife wants to dress like she's, you know, into Sharia law. That's the way you're made to feel.
However, don't bring up Sharia law because you're not allowed to criticize
exactly
the
burqa. Exactly right. Exactly right.
You can criticize. You can't.
No, you can criticize
the burqa, and you can't criticize wearing no clothes. But if you want to wear something in between, that's apparently right. Off limits. It's an interesting thing. They're stumbling all over themselves, obviously, with a story. I mean, we have a bunch of audio we should play later on today of all these celebrities, people referring to the Weinstein scandal years before it actually happened. They all knew this was going on.
Yeah, I said yesterday that Harvey Weinstein wasn't fired because they didn't know. They just found out. He was fired because you just found out. Mm-hmm. And times have changed, and good.
Yeah, these are good changes. This is the sort of thing I think is a positive change. Anthony Bourdain pointed this out in a tweet to DKNY. How many 17-year-old girls have you dressed like they are, in your words, asking for it? And post a picture of apparently a 17-year-old model with very little clothing on, which is interesting from a fashion designer.
I hear this all the time. All the time from people that, you know, they try to go in and, you know, buy something for their daughter, or their daughter goes in, or, you know, my wife goes in, tries to dress modestly. It's almost impossible. It's almost impossible.
If you want to dress fashionably, right?
Yeah.
And you want to dress modestly, that's a difficult combination.
It's a really difficult combination. You want to dress like a slut, they got you. They got you covered. And the problem is our entire culture is sexualizing our girls. It is. I mean, listen to this. Where is this? Newsweek. Newsweek. Newsweek has decided to go after Donald Trump's women in his life for wearing stiletto-heeled shoes. Calling Ivana, Melania, and the Trump daughters-in-law, the female consorts to the leader of the free world. Isn't that nice? Mm. Do not set foot in public without first molding their arches into the supernatural curve that Mattel toy designers once devised for Barbie's plastic feet. As you get older in these shoes, your feet are going to have problems. I'm not going to say Melania is going to have them soon, but sooner or later she's going to have them, and she'll have to come down off of that high arch.
This is a podiatry analysis of this story. I'm so glad they're concerned for the First Lady's arches.
Yes. Stiletto pumps demand a critical level of attention to pebbles, cobbles, sidewalk cracks, mud, grass, curbs, and stairs, all the while keeping head erect and shoulders back. This sometimes has eluded even the greatest public females. So so sure are they of their footing that the Trump women, rare political mountain goats, never even look down for obstacles that might break up their gait or send them sprawling. So they call them mountain goats. First of all, the reason why a lot of women wear stiletto heels is because it makes them feel sexy. It makes them think that they look better. Guys think that it looks better, and so they wear them. That's their choice. My wife wears heels. I hate it when she wears the heels because if we ever are out for more than 15 minutes, all I hear is, I can't wait to get home to take these damn shoes off. And I'm like, honey, you don't have to wear them. Stop wearing. I like the way they look. Okay, whatever. But women wear them because they like them. They like the way they look. And now all of a sudden, Newsweek has a problem with the Trump women wearing heels.
Yeah, what a surprise.
I'm amazed at how Melania Trump, I mean, you know, I know we can't, we'll never surpass the beautiful toned arms of Michelle Obama. But could somebody just say, I've seen her walk across grass? I've seen her in the mud with stiletto heels, and she doesn't miss a step ever.
Yeah, she kind of just floats above the grass.
I mean, it's crazy how graceful she is.
So, let me ask you this. As a guy, do you get this from both sides? Because I get, one, all I do is wear workout stuff and tank tops or whatever, and I'm just wearing comfortable shoes all the time. I want to get dressed up. And then when we go out and she's dressed up, it's, oh, these shoes. Oh, I just want to get out of these shoes. So you're getting it. Like, it's, there's never a comfortable place in the middle where she actually is dressed the way she seemingly wants to be dressed.
I don't know if you know this, but women are never really happy.
Oh, my God. We've never solved all the problems
of the
world.
They're not. Don't ever try to expect the women to be happy with their clothing or their weight or anything like that. You just go along.
You just go along and agree.
You just go along. I know, honey. I know. And I'm getting you home as fast as I can.
This is the Glenn Beck relationship advice we've come for today.
I've been married twice, so I have twice the experience.
That's not how that works.
Yeah, I think it is. No. I think it is. I have twice the experience with women, and so I know what to do and what not to do. And what not to do would be really probably continuing this conversation any further.
That's probably true. Yes. I'm going to go with yes. Stay away from that. That and cornering women in basements of Italian restaurants, and I think the world's going to be a better place.
She was asking for it, and so was the plant. And you know,
don't ask Donna Karen. She
will see
confirm
how that plant was dressed. It was asking for it.
Glenn Beck. Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
The girls were giddy with excitement when the car pulled up. It was an older boy one of their friends knew. He asked if they wanted to go for a ride. Three girls jumped in the car. They thought they were going to go to McDonald's. Their excitement turned to fear as they drove past the Golden Arches and up to a vacant house. One of the girls, 12, was viciously raped. A month later, she discovered that she was pregnant with the rapist's baby. This 12-year-old girl, despite the pressure for her to abort or put her child up for adoption, mom kept the child. She dropped out of school. She went to live with relatives. She worked jobs, tried to support her and now her family. 8 years she's been doing this. But now she is forced to face her rapist once again. And this time, because of the state. This week, the state of Michigan notified the attacker that, as the biological father, he had joint legal custody, visitation privileges, and must start paying child support. As crazy as this sounds, this is routinely done by the prosecutor's office when somebody makes an application for state assistance. State assistance. The victim told the Detroit News, I think this is crazy. I was receiving $260 a month in food stamps for me and my son and health insurance for him. They're just trying to see how they can get some of the money back. This is not a family. This is a felony. This situation is surprisingly not that rare in America. There are 15 states in the U.S. that have no law in place to terminate a rapist parental rights. And of all the 50 states, fewer than half have laws that allow the termination of parental rights to rapists without a conviction. These estimates put thousands of women at risk, a lifetime tethered to their rapists because they chose to keep their child. Because these brave women understood that the circumstances of their child's conception did not determine the child's worth. You comfortable with your daughter forced to relive her nightmare of a rape over and over again every time the doorbell sounds to pick up her daughter or her son? The rapist is there? These women need to be protected and celebrated for turning a traumatic event into a blessing. Protect them.
It's Tuesday, October 10th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right. So I get home last night, and I pick up the mail, and I get this magazine. And this magazine is, you know, this is nicer than, you know, a Neiman Marcus catalog or something. You know, a really nice, you know, slick, all pictured up magazine. And it's Dragon's Pride. This is the high school football magazine. Not even from the town I live in. This is from a neighboring town. I don't know why I get the magazine. I think because there's a possibility that maybe someday I pay taxes to pay for the magazine. I'm not sure exactly. This is the craziest thing I have ever seen. It is this is the slickest magazine I've seen. This is like D Magazine or, you know, any of your city magazines.
Yeah, it's really good qualities. I mean, that's really slick.
Yeah, really slick. Mm-hmm. And you open up the back and look at this parting shot. Parting shot. Mm-hmm. And it's a picture of all of the shoes for the football team, the bottom of the football team, out of the box, preseason bling.
And the shoes are very nice. It looks like,
yeah.
If you're
very
a college nice. Football fan, it looks like an Oregon publication where like they have all the crazy uniforms and the ridiculous new shoes. I mean, it's really nice.
It's really nice.
Yeah.
Really, really nice. Okay, so I'm ranting to my wife about how many tax dollars are going for the stadium and everything. I start ranting, and then I immediately start in on our children. They're not going to be a part of any of these programs. They just need to be regular. Go out and play baseball with a stick out in the front yard. I get really bad.
Were you in your bathrobe throwing something at a passing teenager?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Okay. You kids today. So,
dagnabbit, get out of my lawn!
I just do. I turn into that guy so fast, so fast. So I'm reading this article, and it's about number 48. And the great 48, Jacob Doddridge, dominates everything. And I don't even want to read it because I'm just looking at the pictures and I'm like, look at the photos of these kids. And then none of them look like high school. This is a slick magazine. Okay. So then I read the article. And I get even more pissed, but now not because of these kids, but because of my kids. Okay? Now listen to this. Friday night in Dragon Nation, the green and black pom-poms whoosh in the air and the football fans chant defense, defense from the bleachers. There's a good chance Southlake Carroll Sr., 48, Jacob Doddridge, will answer their call. 6'3", 225-pound athlete, who the pictures, the guy is, you know, blonde hair, blue eye. He's a god. Okay. Piss me off. All right. The multi-position player packs the skill, technique, and raw talent to make him a standout on the field and recruit the colleges are eager to snap up. Before the first snap of his senior season, Doddridge had no less than 9 Division I football opportunities, including offers from Army, Nevada, along with FCS offers, and Abilene Christian and Houston Baptist.
Yeah, a lot of big, I mean, NFL talent has come out of this school. This is a, it's a big deal. They win state championships in Texas and such,
Doddridge is also hearing from Ivy League schools, including Columbia, Brown, and Yale, no doubt due to his football ability and his near-perfect 1450 SAT score. The average score this year is 1083.
That's pretty good. So he's an accomplished young
student. So number 48, I just keep reading, and I'm just looking at my son across the room like, what are you doing? So I'm reading. The team captain is ready to play. He's a team captain, too. Mm-hmm. The team captain ready to play where he's needed and do whatever it takes this season, not for himself, but for his team, helping teammates push harder. To be a good leader, he says, I can't be afraid to call somebody out. The more you care for somebody, the more you call them out because you want what's best for them. I call it success when everyone is proud on how they played. Shut up.
That's a very good perspective. I would think you'd be proud of that. Why are you comparing this to... I don't understand why.
Doddridge's heart is in the right place. On his Twitter bio, it gives his address. He writes, 1 John 3:23, love one... Okay.
This is exactly what you should be... You should be happy about this. This is seemingly the type of...
The 17-year-old student athlete puts in the work, attending football meetings at 7:30 in the morning, followed by classes. He loves U.S. history with Mrs. Colvin. An evening practice. He tries to get the jump start on his homework by during the school day, he does his homework so he can get to bed at a reasonable hour. The kid even wants to go to bed at a reasonable hour. It's all about managing my time. When I'm really tired, I won't do well in school. So I try to get at least 7 hours of sleep.
He's totally going to be president, isn't he? At some
point. Despite a packed schedule, Doddridge finds ways to help at home. Listen to this. Both my parents work, so sometimes I make dinner for them.
That's awesome.
When at home, on the field.
How many times have you had dinner made for you by your kids? Is that common or?
Shut up. He says, whether he's at home, on the field, or in the classroom, Doddridge wants to put a smile on his parents' faces. I thank God for my God-given talents, but also I'm grateful for my parents. They've always been there for me and supported me. I just want to make them proud. He's also a baseball player. He's also a star wrestler. Jacob is a rare breed. You ask his parents, coaches, teammates, practically anyone who knows him. He's intelligent, genuine, trustworthy young man who makes the greatest leadership impacts through his consistent, positive example. If you want to a glimpse at the well-rounded scholar athlete, just look at Doddridge. Not only does he excel in two sports, he's also a Carol Green Jacket, an accomplished piano player, a member of the Honor Society and Young Men's Service League of Southlake, a nonprofit for mothers and sons who volunteer their time together.
And he has three cures for leukemia in the works.
I've gotten really close to my mom through the various service projects. It's been really nice. Finally, Doddridge's faith is also an integral part of his life. For the past 8 summers, he's attended Kanaka camps or whatever. I'm not smart enough to even read the stupid camp that he goes to. A Christian summer camp dedicated to developing the next generation of leaders. Each stay, he unplugs from the computers and cell phones for weeks at a time. He says it's worth it. It's refreshing to be around guys who are Christians. They're all good influences on me. I'm going home to beat my children.
A little dark there at the end. That's exactly what you should want, though,
no,
right?
It is.
That's
my gosh, great example. It is amazing.
At least according to the promotional magazine that you received that was touting him.
But I mean, that's amazing. That's an amazing kid. His parents should be very, very proud.
And
the rest of us are pissed off. All right. Here's the reason why. I got up and I'm driving in and I'm listening to Doc on the Blaze Radio Network. And he's playing an ad for a new pop-up tent for millennials at work.
A work tent?
A work tent. Now, go ahead. Look, can we play this video? So it's called a pause pod at work or on the go. And what you do is you take this little pod and it's your private pop-up space free from stressful moments. Okay. And what you do is you just get in and it has a little reading light. You can zip it up and you can go into it and you can lay down in it.
Yeah, it has a foldable leg compartment.
Yes.
Which is a nice feature. Yes.
And it has a place, they call it a pod cinema, where you can hang your iPad. Mm-hmm. And you can lay down on the floor of work and watch movies.
This sounds great. I mean,
does that sound anything like what this football player would be doing with his time?
He's not bringing a pause pod to work.
You know what that is? That is my granddaughter has one. It has princesses on it. Okay. That's what that is. And we've raised our kids to be in these little teeny princess palaces. And then they go to work and they're like, I want my princess palace. It's too stressful here.
Mm-hmm.
It's you true. Zip yourself up in one of those little pause pods. I'm going to lock the zipper. You're never going to get out. We will physically remove you from the building.
If I could get away with doing this show in a pause pod every day, I absolutely would.
The Equifax brief impacted roughly 143 million consumers. It just got bigger. They've now added 2.5 million people to the list. And as if that's not bad enough, Yahoo announced that their 2013 breach impacted 3 billion user accounts, triple the initial estimate. Perfect. You need to know that your personal information has been exposed because it just doesn't go away. Identity thieves can buy your info on the dark web for months. Most people don't even know what the dark web is, but that's where a lot of dark things happen. And that's where people can take all of this information and sell it. And they can use it to commit crimes in your name. They can even steal from your 401k. Now, LifeLock uses proprietary technology to help detect a wide range of identity theft. And if there is a problem, a U.S.-based identity restoration specialist is going to work to fix it. Nobody can prevent all identity theft, monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more of the threats for your identity. And if somebody gets your identity, they're going to help clean it all up. Go to LifeLock.com now. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use the promo code Beck and you're going to save 10% off your LifeLock membership. That's LifeLock.com. Remember, the promo code is Beck. 1-800-LIFELOCK or LifeLock.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Seattle has gone full-fledged crazy. My grandfather's prediction of all the people that were too weird for California moving up to Seattle and they would wreck it has finally come true. Run by communist and crazy people, they are now changing and introducing new Miranda rights for young people. Here it is. In case you don't know, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law, blah, 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 blah.
Pretty
blah.
Clear, I would think.
Pretty clear. Not for Seattle. You have the right to remain silent, which means you don't have to say anything. Well, remember, this is for young people. You have the right to remain silent, which means you don't have to say anything. It's okay if you don't want to talk to me. If you do want to talk to me, I can tell the juvenile court judge or adult court judge and probation officer what you tell me. You have the right to talk to a free lawyer right now. That free lawyer works for you and is available anytime, even late at night. That lawyer doesn't tell anyone what you tell them. That free lawyer helps you decide if it's a good idea to answer my questions. That free lawyer can be with you if you want to talk with me. If you want to start to answer my questions, you can change your mind and stop anytime. I won't ask you any more questions. Yeah.
And so attorney is too complicated a word. So they've changed that to lawyer.
So
everywhere.
this is not the new Miranda rights for youth. This is for dummies. That's what this
Miranda
is.
Miranda for dummies.
It's Miranda rights for dummies. I mean, it's not for youth. You have the right to remain silent, which means you don't have to say anything. Well, what do you think silent means?
They're thinking the word silent is too complicated for the youth of today.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. Do they have to say it super loud to get it through the pup tent?
No.
You can hear it over their iPad.
You don't have to unzip the pup tent for me.
Okay.
The pause pod. I know you want to zip out the outside world because it's a little scary out here.
We want to make the arrest, but currently the leg compartment is fully utilized. So we're going to wait till they wake up and then we'll make that arrest.
This is being called by the interim deputy director of the Department of Public Defense, a partnership model for the reforming of the juvenile justice system. We put kids in jail and that could ruin their life. So we need to be really careful about when and how we do that. Yeah, I would agree with that. But, you know, kids, you know, breaking the law. That's what I was taught. Break the law, you go to jail, and you should be careful about that because it will ruin your life. Why is all of a sudden the state saying we should be careful how we do this? Well, yeah, unless they break the law. Then if they break the law, they're going to probably ruin their life. You didn't ruin it for them. They ruined it by committing the crime.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they're worried about, and this is the way we are today, but we're worried about police and intimidating kids into false confessions and things like that. I guess that's
do we have a problem with that?
Well, I mean, have you watched any Netflix series lately? They're all false confessions. Yeah, every confession's a false confession. Yeah, There's never been a confession.
I know.
Have you watched American Vandal on Netflix yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
So good. It's like a mockumentary of making of a murderer, basically, of a high school where a kid spray paints a bunch of...
Yes, I've seen...
It's so good. It's so good. It's so well done. I mean, it's completely ridiculous, but it's really, really funny.
And what are they mocking?
They're mocking making of a murderer. Or making a murderer. What is it? Making of a murderer or making a murderer? Whatever that series was on Netflix. It's that new kind of true crime thing that's really hot right now. Where they kind of walk you through a documentary and you go back and forth thinking the person's guilty and then innocent and then guilty and innocent. And at the end, you have absolutely no idea and you make a ridiculous prediction that's not even close to true. And then later on, tell all your friends you got it right. It's that one. It's that.
Okay.
It's that phenomenon.
Good.
Glenn Beck. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So in case you watched Monday Night Football last night, nobody is talking today about, you know, the Star Spangled Banner, thank God. What they are talking about had nothing to do with football, had to do with a trailer that ran during the football game last night for Star Wars. Here it is.
When I found you,
something inside me has always been there. going to go the way you think. Fulfill your destiny.
I need someone to show me my place in all this.
So that's the trailer. It comes out right before Christmas for Star Wars: The Last Jedi.
Tickets are on sale now, by the way.
I gotta get them.
For December 15th. Stephen Kent is with us. He hosts the Beltway Banthas podcast, and it is a kind of a mesh of
politics and Star Wars,
which is a perfect...
Doesn't get any better than that. Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning. Thanks for having me on with you.
So Stephen, first of all, what'd you think of the little gerbil in there? I mean, is it another Jar Jar Binks?
Man, I think you're going to be very grateful for that gerbil. It's called a porg by the end of this movie. I mean, look at how dark this is going to be. I think we're going to need mountains of comedic relief and something cute by the end of this thing. So I'm on board with the porg. Let's do it. And it's not a Gungan. It doesn't talk. So that's a plus, right?
That's true. That is a very good point.
I do have to stop here and ask, what the hell? Have you ever kissed a girl? What? You know what the gerbil is called? What? Why?
Hey, Mike Allen had it leading his morning playbook today. I think it's a legit thing to follow these porgs thing in all their glory.
That was the big, I would say that there are two takeaways from the trailer, it seemed. One, that, you know, the young Backstreet Boy Darth Vader guy and the Luke Skywalker girl are going to basically team up or have some sort of relationship is what it looks like. And then secondarily, there was a little hamster driving the Millennium Falcon. Those are the two things that I feel like Twitter took from the trailer. Is that accurate, Stephen?
I think that's definitely what Twitter took from it. I think folks are looking at Rey and seeing that she is not going to have the typical hero's journey story that we are accustomed to seeing, at least in the vein of Luke Skywalker. I think what's notable after all of this is that you have a villain in Kylo Ren and a hero in Rey, who are both very confused about who they are and where they are going. And I think you're actually going to find a story by the end of The Last Jedi, possibly going into Episode 9, where these two are in cahoots doing their own thing, possibly going a third way, rejecting both the dogma of the light and the dogma of the dark, and trying to find their own path. So I think this is going to leave a lot of people confused, some people really excited, but I think most folks are going to look at this and go, this is not the Star Wars that I'm used to.
This is a third party. They're starting a third party.
They are making the third party of Star Wars. I think that that is basically the tale of our time, is it not? I mean, in many ways, these are two young characters who I think represent a lot of the angst and confusion of young people today who are coming up and enjoying Star Wars and also just horrified by politics, right? And they are going to try and chart their own path forward. I mean, millennials, you know, they're the non-religious generation. They are the increasingly independent generation when it comes to politics. And I just see in Kylo and Rey this incredible reluctance that just feels familiar to me as an observer of politics as well. You see it in the trailer where Kylo Ren is looking at his mask again, and he just looks disgusted at it. I mean, he just does not like what he has done and where he is. And I think that this is an incredibly compelling story. I'm quite excited now after this trailer, after having been, I think, more than a little bit nervous about where this was going.
I like bringing Steven on because then I can act like I don't really care about these things.
Let him
be the smart one. I'm like, I don't even know. What's that? The Darth what? I don't even remember. But it's true. I mean, there's so many parallels. And I don't know, Steven, is this intentional by them? I mean, are they just trying to make a good movie? Or are they trying to reflect some sort of political thing going on right now?
Well, Star Wars is always good when it's reflecting some sort of political thing. We saw that in the original trilogy. You know, really echoing the 1980s, the sort of United States versus Soviet Union dynamic. And then we also saw some hints of the real world more than a few pop up into the prequel trilogy. Star Wars reflects the time that it's in. And when this trilogy got started with The Force Awakens, I think I was with you, Stu, and I looked at this and I saw a lot of laziness and rehashing of old themes and old ideas. But then we also know as students of history, people who follow politics, that things repeat themselves. We are in a horrible place in global politics right now. And here in the United States, with old ideas, things like fascism, Nazism, looking us in the eye again. And now I'm looking at stormtroopers. I'm looking at this sort of cult that worships the Empire called the First Order in these new movies. And I'm going, you know what? This isn't actually a rehash. This is about as real as it gets. This is what happened.
So, I have a great amount of respect for Lucas and what he did, you know, in studying mythology and everything else. I thought he did he's crafted a brilliant story. What kills me is Star Wars is timeless. You're right that it does comment on the times in which we live, but I don't think it's necessarily intentional. It just is a timeless story. This is the story of mankind always, no matter what time you're living in. But it kills me that the people in Hollywood that make these things, they don't notice sometimes that they might be pulling for the dark side.
Sure. I think that that's definitely something that we have to look at as well. And you are right. I mean, this is a timeless story. The United States is not the center of the universe, particularly when it comes to the battle between good and evil. Star Wars is a global franchise. It has a huge audience abroad. So this is drawing from all sorts of political themes that everybody can relate to. This is the human story, the light versus the dark. But yeah, I mean, with Hollywood, I think this is just kind of what you have to come to expect. Yeah. There are certain things that they ignore about their beliefs, but then I'm also encouraged sometimes when I see things like Star Wars and these ideas come out there. You know, like with Saw Gerrera in Rogue One, he was sort of that Che Guevara-ish type rebel who didn't want to play by the rules of the mainstream rebellion. And while they could have romanticized that character and been like, oh, well, this guy's great. You know, he's actually going the violent route, really taking it to the Empire's way, which is the wrong way. They made it out that he was sort of like the Darth Vader of the rebellion. Mm-hmm. He was half man, half machine. That's not someone who you want to be. You have to give up a part of your humanity if you're going to fight evil with evil or fire with fire.
So speaking of evil, when you saw that Disney bought this, did you at all have a moment of, I don't know who would wreck this storyline faster, George Lucas or Disney?
Oh, man, you know what? I'm pro Disney these days. Kathleen Kennedy, who's helming Star Wars, I think she gets it in a way that George Lucas might have not at a certain point as the creator. I think he had his, the goggles on or something. Like he didn't see at a certain point that he needed some challenge in the studio. I mean, you know, the prequels were made almost entirely by him in terms of the screenwriting, the directing, and the production. Awesome. He had nobody to tell him no. And I think that Star Wars, as sort of a collective project where you have a bunch of different creatives in the room working on it, you're going to get much better outcomes than with the mastermind who actually, you know, himself personally favored benevolent dictatorship, George Lucas. So I'm going to go with Disney on this one. George Lucas had his shot, and we saw how that went.
Steven, biggest comparison to Star Wars in today's political realm?
So I heard one the other night that I actually really liked. It's probably not the biggest, but I thought it was really compelling, which is something that I mentioned earlier about Rey and Kylo as sort of the millennial story. And I know Stu likes to mention this all the time about, you know, you have Kylo, sort of the emo millennial Sith, and he's just sort of trying to be a Darth, but he can't. And I think that this just, I don't know, this just feels like the story of our time. This young man who thinks he is one thing, but it turns out he might be another. I don't think it's a secret to you that identity and sort of being confused about where you stand on the spectrum is part of the politics of our era. Everybody is trying to find out who they are while the spectrum is kind of being flipped upside down. So I think that this is sort of what we look at when we see the closest parallel, confusion about identity. Where do I belong? Where am I going?
Stephen, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
You check out Stephen's podcast, Beltway Banthas. It is it's that meshing of politics and Star Wars. We've seen that recently with sports, and that's one of the things that entertains me, and I hate to bring it into that world, but he does it pretty well, and of course, he's obviously the ultimate Star Wars geek, as you could probably tell by him identifying the hamster thing driving the Millennium Falcon.
It wasn't the hamster thing to him.
You said it was a gerbil. I thought it was a hamster.
Whatever.
He thought it was a...
No, he knew what it was.
Exactly.
He knew what it was. He didn't think he knew what it was. Most Americans only have a couple of days of non-perishable food in their homes, and if an emergency strikes, grocery store shelves are typically bare within hours. What's happening over in Puerto Rico is just a crime. I mean, these are American citizens. If this was happening over in Florida or Texas or any place else, and we didn't have electricity for this long, I think America would be up in arms. But I guess we're doing the best we can. This happens from time to time where the government screws it up and you are on your own. And I've never believed in first responders being the cops or firemen. We're the first responders. We're the ones there. So having food storage for an emergency scenario means you don't have to deal with not being able to eat in a crisis. You'll be able to help the people down the street. My Patriot Supply has the solution. I've depended on them for many years for my food storage, and you can too. This week, get their 102-serving survival food kit at a special price of less than a dollar per serving. You can order today, get really good breakfast, lunch, and dinner shipped to your home for free at 1-800-200-7163 or order online at preparewithglenn.com. It's dependable emergency food storage. You can trust the seasoned experts at My Patriot Supply by calling 1-800-200-7163 or go there now, preparewithglenn.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
So Steve Bannon was on Sean Hannity last night and said something that I'm trying to get my arms around. Here it is.
Remember, I said, I'm going after the Republican establishment, and we're going to go after them. We're going to challenge. There's a coalition.
Give me the states.
There's a coalition coming together that's going to challenge every Republican incumbent except for Ted Cruz.
Wait, hold it. What?
Wait, except for who?
Except for Ted Cruz?
Because it wasn't he the main target number one like 6 months ago?
When the president was sworn into office, it was we're going to run people against him.
They were
going to
create super PACs to run candidates against Ted Cruz. He was the one they were mentioning most. Now he's the only one they're not going after? This is really confusing.
I don't understand that. I really don't understand that. What happened?
I don't know. Cruz seems to be voting the same way he's always voted.
I know. Other than the Mercers, who that's the real money behind Bannon.
And they
also like Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
So is it possible that the Mercers said, lay off of Ted Cruz?
That's certainly possible, right? I guess that's...
Because Ted hasn't done anything that I know of that's been kissing up.
No, he's...
He's not being a jerk, but he's not kissing up.
He hasn't... I mean, there's been other, you know, Flake and Corker, and there's been certain senators who've really taken him on, and Cruz has avoided all of that really since the campaign. I don't think that he's... I mean, he's stood up for... I haven't seen him vote in a way that has made me think, oh, this guy's sold out. Right? I mean, he seems to be still supporting full repeal and replace, and I mean, he did go along with the healthcare plan and stuff like that. He did eventually vote for it, though he had issues with it. But I mean, it's an interesting thing that the guy, he was enemy number one, this guy. He was basically Satan for 6 months.
Oh, no,
he's the only guy they're not going after? I mean, look, I think that's good, and I don't think you could beat Ted Cruz in Texas. But still, that is a strange turn of events, man. It's hard to keep track of who's friends anymore.
And the other thing is, I mean, I am not for the Republican establishment, but really going after everyone? There's nobody good. Everyone?
Glenn Beck.
How about Tex-Mex chicken and cheesy rice? Yep. Pretzel burgers with cheddar cheese sauce. Okay. And, ooh, and sweet potato fries. Oh, my gosh. Looking at some of these recipes on blueapron.com right now. Oh, they've got the spicy sesame lo mein. They've got black bean enchiladas. Yes. This brown butter gnocchi. I've had that before. Yum. That recipe I've made before. It's delicious. Blueapron.com is fantastic. You're going to love it. And you can actually make these products at your home. You make these meals at your home because they're going to deliver all the ingredients to you in the exact amount that you need them, which is really amazing. Also, they're going to give you, you're going to get, first of all, $30 off your first meal with free shipping, which is really cool. And then you just got to go to blueapron.com/2 to get this. You can make these meals. I know it's intimidating. I was intimidated by it, but you can actually do it yourself. blueapron.com/2. blueapron.com/2. It's Blue Apron, a better way to cook.
Love. Courage. Truth. Glenn Beck.
Harvey Weinstein has been thanked at the Oscars more than God. And it looks like Weinstein's number of thank yous may have taken a serious hit now that he's been fired from his own company for decades of sexually harassing numerous women. We have some audio we're going to play for you here in a minute that is stunning. But remember, this is an industry where people still fall over themselves to be, you know, in a Woody Allen film. They never skip the chance to praise Roman Polanski. It wouldn't shock me if Harvey Weinstein wins an Oscar when he makes a comeback in a few years. Yesterday, Meryl Streep, Glenn Close, Kate Winslet, Judi Dench spoke out condemning Weinstein, but the men of Hollywood seemed to be keeping their mouths shut for some reason. In fact, Sharon Waxman revealed that in 2004, she was working on a similar report for the New York Times about Weinstein sexually harassing women. But she says Matt Damon, Russell Crowe, both called to vouch for Weinstein. So the Times dropped the 2004 story after pressure. His company was a big advertiser for the newspaper. Weinstein is beyond a creep, and he'll have to deal with the consequences of his gross behavior himself. But let's not kid ourselves. Sexual harassment goes on in every single industry, and I gotta believe the movie industry is number one at that list. This story reveals so much about American politics and hypocrisies. While it's fun to give Hollywood a taste of their own medicine for a change, we shouldn't miss the opportunity to have a national dialogue about the objectification of women in our culture and what helps fuel this problem. A lot of that comes from Hollywood. And you can't have a national epidemic of male addiction to pornography and expect to have sexual harassment decrease. It used to be considered sleazy to go to an X-rated movie theater. But now our kids are growing up with a rated X theater in their phone, their back pocket. And if you think it's bad now, wait until 24/7 porn generation becomes the boss at work. Combating our porn epidemic is a cause that men and women, liberal and conservatives, could work on together. They won't. Hollywood loves their porn. It may sound old-fashioned and prudish to some, but if we don't think that our porn addiction is affecting our society, we are delusional.
It's Tuesday, October 10th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
So Ronan Farrow has just written a piece for The New Yorker. It was just released. Now, Ronan Farrow is Mia Farrow's son, Woody Allen and Mia Farrow. So he's got some things to say. Let me just, three women among them, Argentino and a former aspiring actress, met me to tell me that Weinstein raped them. The allegations include that he forcefully performed and received oral sex and forcing himself in vaginal sex. Four women said they experienced unwanted touching that is classified as an assault in an audio recording captured during a New York Police Department sting operation in 2015, made public now for the first time. He admits to groping a model, describing his behavior as what he's used to. Four women that Ronan interviewed cited encounters in which Weinstein exposed himself and pleasured himself in front of them. Here is, for the first time, do we have it?
They're working on pulling it. We just kept coming in now. Yeah,
we have to play this for you. I just heard it off air, and it is remarkable.
Yeah, we should point out too, this is a massive development that has happened in this story in the last few minutes. This is something that just came out, and it is if you're wondering why the Weinstein Company went from, well, we suspended him for a little bit. Oh, he's fired. That transition
to we're going to change the name of the company.
Yeah, I mean, they have really gone far fast on this. And they had pointed out, we have new allegations have come to light. The audio, which is not the audio is pretty compelling and terrible, but it's not the worst of these accusations. The idea before this was he harassed women. He occasionally groped women. He did things in front of women, asked to shower in front of them, all creepy enough. This is multiple allegations of rape. This is way further than this story was just a half an hour ago. And now that we're getting into this, this is a real...
And this is beyond... this is beyond... virtually all the people I spoke to told me that they were frightened of retaliation. If Harvey were to discover my identity, he could ruin my life, said one former employee. The four actresses, including Mira Savino and Rosanna Arquette, told me they suspected that after they rejected Weinstein's advances and complained about them to the company representatives, he had them removed from projects or dissuaded people from hiring them. Now, listen to this. This is everything that they said was happening at Fox. And they didn't have this kind of stuff at Fox. Listen to this. Emily Nestor, one of the women who alleged she was harassed at the company, described the mistreatment of women as a serial problem at the Weinstein Company and was struggling within recent years. Other employees described what was, in essence, a culture of complicity at Weinstein's place of business. The numerous people throughout the companies fully aware of his behavior, but either abetting it or looking the other way. Some employees said that they were enlisted in subterfuge to make the victims feel safe. A female executive with the company described how Weinstein assistants and others served as a honeypot. They would initially join a meeting, but then Weinstein would dismiss them, leaving him alone with the woman.
I mean,
wow.
That is pre-planned creepiness. It's not just normal level creepiness we've heard from the previous stories. And again, that is criminal activity, as we talked about. I mean, this does seem like a huge escalation, even beyond that. Now we're talking to the most serious of crimes, basically, that we have in our society. Multiple accusations of rape. Again, remember, this is the type of thing that these people... I mean, can we go to some of this audio? This is not the audio of the actual tape. We're still pulling that. But how about Michelle Obama talking about Harvey Weinstein? Now, remember, Michelle and Barack sent Malia to be an intern at this company.
Holy cow.
I mean, can you imagine this? The first daughter, one of the first daughters, was interning under a mass rapist, it looks like, at least accused. So here is Michelle Obama talking about Harvey.
I want to start by thanking Harvey Weinstein for organizing this amazing day.
Okay, this is in 2013.
This is possible because of Harvey. He is a wonderful human being, a good friend, and just a powerhouse. And the fact that he and his team took the time to make this happen for all of you should say something, not about me or about this place, but about you. All right?
So
everybody,
we
are here because of you.
What's amazing about this is the reason why Harvey Weinstein got away with this is because of his power and his powerful friends. Everybody knew. Everybody knew. And so everybody's playing along and everybody's saying, you know, just leave him be. Just leave him be. Just pay them off, whatever. Leave them be. So when he said, what was it yesterday, he writes this pathetic letter that says, hey, if you've ever been a friend of mine, I need your support right now. I can go get some help. And I think I can get past this. No, you're not going to get past this, Harvey. This is really bad now, especially with rape charges.
Yeah. And what shields him is not only his power, but his liberalism, his progressivism.
Yes.
Because even Lisa Bloom, the attorney who was working in many of these recent sexual harassment cases on the side of the accusers, was saying that my impression had been to work with him because he had lived such a good life in other ways. In other words, he had supported the right causes. He had done the right things. He had backed up all of our political views. So I thought I'd give him a break. We're talking about now a guy who's been accused of at least three rapes. And
isn't
they still
this
embrace
the same,
him.
Isn't this the same story as Bill Cosby? This is exactly the same story of Bill Cosby. Nobody could say anything about him until the very end. And you know what? In the same thing with Roger Ailes, not until they were weakened.
Yeah.
Or in Harvey's case, not until the culture changed.
And you're telling me they didn't know about this, you know, because I think you can fairly say, OK, Michelle Obama is probably not sending her daughter to intern for this monster if she knew he was a rapist. There's a lot of these accusations going around for a long time, but at least you can say that. By that quote, the usage of the term "he was a wonderful person" is notable, but maybe you could give her a break and say, okay, look, you know, she's just praising him at a charity event.
Here's the thing. I can guarantee you that Michelle Obama knew of the accusations. I knew about the accusations, but I mean, what are you going to say? You don't know anything.
You knew about the accusations, not of this sort of stuff.
Not of rape.
No, you heard he was kind of a dirtbag. I had always heard he was abusive to his staff. I had heard, you know.
And that he was abusive to women. But you don't know. I don't know. But I'm so far out of that circle. Yeah. Michelle Obama could get into the circle
and get an answer
on that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and but is anybody going to say that?
And that's the thing, too. Like, I think it's important to note this. People are seemingly asking for everyone who hears a rumor about someone to start spouting it to protect people.
Yes.
That's not a fair standard either. I mean, right. Just because you hear something bad about someone doesn't mean you start spouting it to the media. However, these things should be looked into when they're this widespread. And let me give you an example of how widespread it was. This is a clip from 30 Rock. Remember that show?
Yes.
This is a clip from 30 Rock where they're talking about Harvey Weinstein several years ago.
Several years ago. I want you to listen. This is scripted several years ago.
Don't do it, J-Mo. You don't want to mess with Weird Al.
Oh, please. I'm not afraid of anyone in show business. I turned down intercourse with Harvey Weinstein on no less than 3 occasions out of 5.
On no less than 3 occasions out of 5. I mean, it was a standard joke. They were putting it on television that he was, at the very least,
a player.
A player and hitting on young actresses that would go along with it for their career. It was a joke to these people just a few years ago. And I'm glad that people are starting to take it seriously. I'm glad that's actually happening now. I mean, I think that's a positive. And this report is extensive. I mean, to be honest with you, it just came out as we were coming to the air. And it's 23 printed pages long. It's a typical New Yorker article. It's like 25,000 words. But there's a lot
in
here.
It's significant that it was written by Farrow.
Yeah, it is.
Significant.
In fact, what's this? Kate Winslet. You mentioned Kate Winslet earlier. Mm-hmm. Kate Winslet. They talked about her coming out and criticizing Harvey Weinstein. The sub part of the headline was, she's about to start her new movie with Woody Allen.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, how do you take this seriously? I mean, Woody Allen had sex with his daughter, basically. His adopted daughter. His daughter! He's married to his daughter! Roman Polanski is making... He's a convicted rapist! Not even, it's worse than Weinstein. They have evidence. He's admitted it in court. And they're still praising him. I mean, these lines that these guys draw and how they go to sleep at night, I have no freaking idea.
We're going to play that audio for you here in just a second. When it comes to your mortgage, buying or refinancing, you need to take away the stress. You don't want to do business with somebody who's going to add more stress. American Financing will make this a stress-free loan. They're going to customize a loan program to fit your financial needs. If you're a veteran, if you haven't used your VA benefits, with interest rates now this low, now is the time to get a new home or to refinance. The Fed did not raise the rates during their last meeting, but everyone is projecting that rates are going to go up at the next meeting. So if you are looking to refinance or purchase, you should move forward as the rates are still close to historic lows. But it isn't going to last long. The salary-based mortgage consultants at American Financing, dedicated to helping you make a smart mortgage decision that aligns with your unique financial goals. And with American Financing, you get a straightforward and effortless mortgage experience. American Financing, now doing reverse mortgages. Reverse mortgages are a good way to increase your monthly cash flow with no mortgage payment while still retaining ownership of your home. Call them at 1-800-906-2440. That's 800-906-2440. Or online at AmericanFinancing.net. That's AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck.
Published a massive expose detailing movie executive Harvey Weinstein's years of alleged sexual harassment. And his response was infuriating because he and his attorneys admitted he needs help while also denying the charges and threatening to sue the Times. And on top of that was this.
Well, in a statement in response, Weinstein says in part, I came of age in the 60s and 70s when all the rules about behavior in workplaces were different. That was the culture then. I have since learned it's not an excuse.
Yeah, you're right. Your excuse isn't an excuse. In fact, it isn't even an excuse for that behavior in the 60s. Well, back then, we had no idea that women didn't want to be forced to look at dicks. That wasn't discovered by scientists until 1998. It was a different time.
45
and
seconds.
New stories are now coming out, including an allegation from one local news reporter that Weinstein trapped her in the hallway of a restaurant, tried to kiss her, and when she refused, he proceeded to expose himself before he quickly into a potted plant. So, step aside, chocolat. You are no longer the most horrifying picture that Harvey Weinstein has ever produced.
Glenn Beck.
Okay, here's new audio that was just released. This is from the New York Police. They did a sting operation in 2015. This is Harvey Weinstein going into standing out in a hallway of a hotel room as he's trying to convince this woman to go into the hotel room with him. Listen.
I'm telling you right now.
What do we have to do here?
Nothing. I'm going to take a shower. You sit there and have a drink. Water.
I don't drink. Can I stay on the bar?
No. You must come here now.
No.
Please.
No, I don't want to.
I'm not doing anything with you. I know. Now you're embarrassing me.
I'm sorry. I cannot. No, yesterday was kind of aggressive for me. I need to know a person to be touched.
I won't do a thing. Please, I swear I won't. Just sit with me. Don't embarrass me in the hotel. I'm here all the time.
I know, but I don't want to.
Please sit there. Please. Mm. 1 minute.
No,
I ask
you.
Go to the bathroom.
Please, I don't want to do something I don't want
to. Go to the bathroom. Hey, come here. Listen to me.
I want to go downstairs.
I'm not going to do anything. You'll never see me again after this. Okay? That's it. If you embarrass me in this hotel,
I'm not embarrassing you. It's just that I don't feel comfortable.
I mean, don't have a fight with me.
It's not nice.
Please.
Holy cow. I mean, how many times does she have to say no?
Yeah, she's trying to leave the hotel, and he's trying to get her to stay and sit down, have a drink while he showers.
And going to do whatever else he does. Mm-hmm. Here's another clip.
I'm not going to do anything. I swear my children. Please come in.
Swear on my
everything. I'm a famous guy.
I'm feeling very uncomfortable right now.
Please come in now. And 1 minute, and if you want to leave, when the guy comes with my jacket,
you can go. Why yesterday you touched my breast?
Oh, please, I'm sorry. Just come on. I'm used to that.
But
come on.
Are you used to that?
Yes, come in.
But I'm not used to that.
I won't do it again. Come on. Sit here. Sit here for a minute, please.
No, I don't want to.
If you do this now, you will embarrass me. No. Bye. Never call me again. Okay? I'm sorry.
Never call me again.
I promise you I won't do anything.
I know, but yesterday was too much.
The guy is coming.
Me.
I will never do another thing to you. 5 minutes. Don't ruin your friendship with me for 5 minutes.
I know, but it's
so creepy.
It's too much for me. I can't.
Please, you're making a big scene here.
No,
please.
But I want to leave.
Okay, bye. Thank you.
So she says, I mean, if it's hard to hear, obviously, he says he swears on his children he won't do anything. He says, I'm a famous guy.
I'm used to this.
I'm used to this after she says, you touched my breast yesterday. He's like, oh, I'm used to this. I'm used to this. She's like, you're used to this? Yeah. I mean, and then eventually he gives up and lets her escape the hotel room. Really creepy stuff. And now, I mean, it's certainly not the worst accusation that is in the particular New Yorker article. As again, if you missed it, three accusations of rape against Harvey Weinstein in this article, along with multiple other sexual harassment and this audio that you just heard. This is why you saw this is I guarantee this word. The word was out that this was coming out. And that's why you saw everyone fleeing from him yesterday. You saw the mass exodus yesterday. And, you know, I don't know what that says about these people. They waited until, you know, until they had all this information. I mean, instead of, you know, calling him out, I think a long time ago. I mean, a lot of these guys seem to know this. They all keep claiming. I mean, certain there was an actress yesterday who was saying, oh, well, yeah, we knew this. But, you know, it wasn't my story to tell. I don't know. It seems like a crime. This is kind of everybody's story to tell.
Listen to this. Following the event, Gutierrez's agency emailed to say Weinstein wanted to set up a business meeting as soon as possible. She arrived at Weinstein's office in Tribeca early the next evening with her modeling portfolio. In the office, she sat with Weinstein on a couch to review the portfolio, and he began staring at her breast, asking if they were real. Gutierrez later told officers of the New York Police Department Special Victims Division that Weinstein had lunged at her, groping her breast and attempting to put his hand up her skirt while she protested. He finally backed off and told her that assistant would give her tickets to Finding Neverland, a Broadway play he was producing, and that he would meet her at the show that evening. Instead of going to the show that night, Gutierrez went to the nearest NYPD precinct station, reported the assault. Weinstein telephoned her later that evening, annoyed that she had failed to appear at the play. She picked up the call while sitting with investigators from the Special Victims Division, who listened in on the call and devised a plan. She would agree to see the show the following day and then meet with Weinstein. She would wear a wire and attempt to extract a confession or incriminating statement. The next day, they met at the bar of the Tribeca Grand Hotel while the team had the undercover microphones. I don't want to. I want to leave. I'm used to that, she said. Went on for 2 minutes back and forth in the hallway. According to a law enforcement source, Weinstein, if charged, would have most likely faced a count of sexual abuse in the third degree, a misdemeanor punishable by 3 months in jail.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
This is truly a damaging article on Harvey Weinstein and everybody around him.
Yeah.
Everybody around him.
Listen to this tweet from Jake Tapper quickly, Glenn. Jake Tapper just tweeted, speaking of media complicity, ask yourself why NBC reporter Ronan Farrow wrote this for The New Yorker. Holy crap. That's a great... He works for NBC. And he's writing for The New Yorker?
Wow.
Why? And that's an accusation not coming from some right-wing pundit there. That's from Jake Tapper, so pretty amazing.
Nestor, 25 years old when she started the job after finishing law school and starting business school, was considered a career in the movie industry. On her first day in the position, Nestor said two employees told her that she was Weinstein's type physically. When he arrived at the office, he made comments about her appearance, referring to her as the pretty girl. He asked how old I was and sent all the assistants out of the room and made me write down my telephone number. He then said, meet him for drinks that night. She invented an excuse. When he insisted, she suggested an early morning coffee the next day, assuming that he wouldn't accept. He did. He told her to meet him at the Peninsula Hotel in Beverly Hills, where he was staying. I went and I dressed very frumpy. It was the most excruciating and uncomfortable hour of my life. He offered her career help, began to boast about his sexual liaisons with other women, including famous actresses. He said, you know, you and I can have a lot of fun. I could put you in my London office and you could work there and you could be my girlfriend. She declined. He asked to hold her hand and she said, no. Oh, the girls always say no, you know, no, no, no. Then they have a beer or two and then they're throwing themselves at me. In a tone that Nestor described as weirdly proud, Weinstein added he had never had to do anything like Bill Cosby. Is bizarre to be proud of not having to drug women, she said.
It's a good point. That is a fair point.
Yeah, she said that Pretty clear-cut case of sexual harassment when your superior, the CEO, asks one of your inferiors his attempt to have sex with them. She said, but nobody cared at the office. Where is it? She said, they said no assault had occurred. She then, where is it here? Took the case to the DA's office. They said they had the evidence, but nothing was ever done. This guy is.
These accusations, unlike the Cosby stuff too, many of them are quite recent. I mean, the audio we played for you was a 2015 sting from police. So these are not just like, oh, well, his career is going to be over. I mean, if any of these are true or even close to true, there's going to be some serious trials going on.
He said, I have to give you a script. It was up in his room. She went up. She picked up the phone to make a call. When I hung up the phone, I heard the shower going on in the bathroom. She's like, what, is he taking a shower? He came out naked. She said, I was petrified. I didn't want to show him that I was petrified because I could feel that the more I was freaking out, the more it excited him. It was like a hunter with a wild animal. The fear turned him on. This guy is in real trouble. Maybe.
Probably don't want to be introduced after that, but Pat Gray is with us.
What a perfect lead-in. What a perfect lead-in.
Apologies.
And ask yourself, where are the Matt Damons and Ben Afflecks of the world?
Yeah.
Those who are so tied into him, and he kind of launched their career.
Matt Damon defended him.
Made a call on his behalf.
Made a call to the New York Times to get a story spiked.
Unbelievable. I mean, it's unbelievable. The guy now looks like he could be a rapist, and all of Hollywood is trying to protect him. And yet, when Trump had the 2005 thing where he just talked kind of dirty to another guy,
sure,
it was the worst thing in the history of the world.
Trump is in this story.
Oh, in the Weinstein story?
Yes, he is, unfortunately. He is.
Well, because every one of these stories I've seen so far has taken great pains to make sure they bring up the Access Hollywood tape.
No.
That's not how it's in here.
Weinstein wrote an email to Donald Trump. Let me see if I can find it here.
When?
Right after the tape came out, he had 3 weeks before he had sexually harassed some woman. And then Weinstein had, mm-hmm. and they had a blowout. And when the Trump tape came out, he said he wrote to her saying, this made me think of you. And I've been thinking about you. And and where is it? He said hang on. Shoot, I've lost it now. He wrote and he said, I talked to Donald Trump about his behavior because of our argument. And he said, Donald labeled me the sex police.
Weinstein?
Yeah.
Was the sex police.
Yeah.
No, or Trump was the sex police.
No, Weinstein was the sex police
about Trump.
Calling him and saying, you gotta stop this.
Can you imagine the balls of this guy who's been doing this for decades and is criticizing Trump.
Yeah.
And is also criticizing Cosby.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's going after these people, who he would claim did the exact same thing, although the evidence on Trump is certainly not there. But the Cosby stuff is, I guess, well-founded at this point. That's some guts, I guess. I mean, when you have that sort of power and you're shielded, and this is an important part of it, you're shielded by your progressivism. You figure mm-hmm. that because you're powerful and mm-hmm. you control a lot of money and you're saying all the right liberal things, that no one's ever going to come down
and
like this.
And you're right. For the most part. Like NBC, still. I mean, when you've got NBC employees having to go to the New Yorker to do the story, or New York Magazine, then you know that, I mean, even NBC will cover
your
butt.
Well, that's what the story was with Billy Bush, wasn't it? Didn't that come from NBC?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Remember, NBC said they had all kinds of stuff, and they didn't do it on Donald Trump, and they didn't run it on Donald Trump, and until when?
Until
he changed his politics and started running as a conservative.
Right.
And that's when they went after him. How Donna Karen is going to survive this is...
Oh, jeez. For her to say, look at how they're dressed, women want it.
If she's a good friend of Harvey Weinstein, you know, he's the predator that he is, you know that she has been around him with young models that model for her.
No doubt.
So no doubt. For her to act like she didn't know is really creepy and evil.
I don't know that she did act like she didn't know. She just didn't care, did she? She was saying that the women are partly responsible because look at how they dress.
But you're dressing them.
You can't say that as a clothing designer.
You can't, no.
Or anyone else, but especially as a clothing designer.
So will Hollywood boycott Donna Karen Fashions? Let's see if the liberals eat their own. I don't think they're going to in this case.
Nope.
Don't think they're going
Because quite honestly, they don't really care.
They don't care. They don't care.
They only care about this because you found out.
And where's
they
the
have
national
to do something?
National Organization for Women. I haven't heard a single thing from them. Maybe I missed it, but I haven't heard a peep out of them.
That's interesting. Hillary Clinton did a 90-minute speech last night and did not mention this. Now, look,
huge donor of the Clintons. Yeah, and he's even to the point where he's blaming the right wing conspiracy for his troubles now.
He's using the Hillary defense.
Yeah, yeah. It's despicable.
This is why you actually have to stick to principles, because otherwise you're going to find yourself on the other end and you're like, I can't say anything at all. I don't have anything to say here. So on the Pat Gray Radio Extravaganza today, what do you have coming up, Pat?
I'm going to talk about a new California law.
Oh, my gosh.
That allows for people using the wrong pronouns to go to jail.
But only for a year.
Only a year. It's not that big a deal.
Yeah.
It's California healthcare workers who willfully and repeatedly declined to use a senior transgendered patient's preferred name or pronouns could face punishments ranging from a fine to jail time up to a year in the law that Jerry Brown just signed in.
So wouldn't that just require you being fired?
You would think so. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's your.
How does it become criminal?
Yeah. Why is it criminal? If you're going in and you're in a hospital, you're a nurse or whatever is happening, and you decide I'm not going to call this patient what they want to be called. That's when you're fired.
You're fired. Yeah. So if they want to be called G, you know, XI, and you're calling them him, you could be fired for that. But go to jail for that? I mean, if we're going to do this, I propose that anybody who dangles a participle should be imprisoned for life.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
I'm having my participle removed.
Oh, my God.
And if someone refers to themselves in third person, I think they are executed. I think they just get the death penalty.
Well, Stu agrees with you there. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because if we're going to do this, let's go all the way. Let's just go all the way. Mm-hmm. If you are put in jail in the United States of America for using an improper pronoun, then the First Amendment's gone.
It can't be constitutional, right? I mean,
you wouldn't think so. You would not think
so. I guess maybe
so.
They would put it
they
as a
even
harassment
bring up,
situation. They
in the article, the Constitution's not even mentioned here. First Amendment speech is protected speech is not even mentioned.
Why would that be brought up?
Why
in
would that
story?
Be brought
well,
up?
It wouldn't be protect. It would protect you enough to keep you out of jail.
Out of jail, yes.
But it would
you
not
could be
protect
fired,
your job.
Like everything else. Like whatever else you say. On the air, you could be fired for it, but you can't be put in jail for it. Not in the United States of America. Until now.
Well,
frightening.
Now, hang on just a second. That's, I mean, hasty.
Is it?
Yes. You're referring to California as part of the United States of America.
That is hasty.
Pat Gray Unleashed on the Blaze Radio and TV Network is coming up right after this program and does every day which is it's.
Hey, wait,
Pat,
come here. I got one more question for you. Okay. Hang on, let me go into a commercial break, and then we'll come back. I heard you say something on the air yesterday, I was like, I cannot believe. I must have misunderstood. I want to tell you about Bonnie and Michael's story. Bonnie and Michael live in Virginia. They had a house in Ohio they were looking to sell, and for a year, absolutely nothing was done. Their agent never called them, never kept them posted, just gave them the runaround and excuses every time. Bonnie and Michael decided to make a change, and because they listened to us, they went to realestateagentsitrust.com, and their new real estate agent, Stacy, quickly got to work, and in no time, they received an offer on the house. Their house sold in 2 weeks. realestateagentsitrust.com. It's going to help you find a great real estate agent in your town. Thousands of families have already put realestateagentsitrust.com to the test, and they have been remarkable results. Go to realestateagentsitrust.com, sell your house on time and for the most amount of money now at realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com.
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck.
Well, there's another update that has just come out with the Harvey Weinstein story, except this one's not about Harvey. We don't know exactly who it is. But can you read that quote, Stu?
Hollywood is full of connoisseurs like Weinstein, men whose erotic imaginations are fueled primarily by humiliation, who glut their sensibilities with the most exquisite refinements of shame. A journalist once told me, this is, by the way, from the Weekly Standard, a journalist once told me about visiting another very famous Hollywood producer, you'd know the name, who exhibited for my friend his collection of photographs of famous female actresses, you'd know their names too, performing sexual acts for his private viewing. As with Weinstein, this man's chief thrill was humiliation, and the more famous the target, the more roundly it was savored. Even her, a big star, these people will do anything to land a role. They're so awful, they even have to do it for me.
Unbelievable. Jeez. That guy is, whoever that guy is.
Yeah.
Ooh, good luck sleeping. Good luck sleeping.
It's all coming down.
Yeah. So, Pat,
yes.
Speaking of all coming down,
mm-hmm.
I heard you yesterday say about this Dove ad.
Yeah.
Who doesn't know that this isn't racist? Did I misunderstand you?
No, that's who you. There's somebody who doesn't know that when you take soap and wash a black person, a white person appears underneath.
Okay. Now that's the
is
way
there
it is.
Really, no, somebody hang on just a who second. Doesn't know that?
Hang on, just a second.
I want to meet that person.
Hang on. Would you say that it is racist? That's the way it's being presented.
Yes.
But would you say it is racist if? If it was reversed and it started with a white woman and she took off her shirt and she was black.
If she cleaned her white skin off and became black?
That's the way you're interpreting it.
What other way can you interpret it? They didn't do it the other way. So it's really hard to judge that, to see how they would have handled that. But they did it with a person as if black skin is akin to dirt. I don't know any other way to take that. Somebody in a boardroom somewhere has to be fired over that.
That was pretty.
They have to be. That's blatantly bad.
Because the next one.
I can't believe you.
The judgment is non-existent.
She's, wait a minute.
Are
she
you
goes
serious?
From a she goes from a black person
to white.
And then to a Hispanic. Did she get a little dirty again?
I didn't see her go to a
Hispanic.
Yeah,
the third woman is a Hispanic.
No.
Watch it. Play it again. Play it again. Watch it. Watch it.
Okay, there's a white person.
White. Hispanic. Black. White. Hispanic.
Right. I mean, I guess they're just going for, like, women are all different shapes and sizes and looks and, you know, like that.
Yes, this is not racist.
I didn't see the motion. All I saw was the Facebook ad where at the top was the black woman, and then she apparently used the Dove soap and became a redheaded white girl.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, come on now.
Right.
Come on. I didn't see the motion one.
Well,
I didn't see
that. I guess that's
that makes that was it a little bit different if you become Hispanic afterwards.
Yes. Does it make you slightly dusty?
Well, I mean, this is weird soap.
It's weird soap.
Really,
you wash,
you
get
soap.
Clean, but don't wash too much.
Yeah, that changes it. I haven't seen that.
Well, you saw a different ad, right? So
yeah,
probably
I saw
ran
the Facebook
in
ad
multiple
where
places.
It was just black and white. And one was dirty and one was clean. You tell me.
It is surprising they would miss it. I will say that.
It is.
Well, in today's world.
I mean, don't we double and triple and
because
quadruple
we are conservatives.
We do. Yeah.
Liberals don't ever feel that
pressure.
They're blind to it most times.
Very true.
Glenn Beck.